Lord, we just invite you into this moment. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just be among us. Lord, would you minister to our hearts and teach us? Would you connect the dots for us? Would you put in place in our mind the things that maybe we haven't heard before, things that we haven't noticed before? Lord, I love how you highlight Scripture, and I pray that you'd do that for us this morning. Lord, make us just receptive to where you're working, what you're doing. We thank you for all you do, for how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. So my middle daughter, Madison, has softball games today. She has softball games every weekend. She has softball all the time. Our lives revolve very much around softball. And I was thinking about this last week. We were talking to her about pitching and catching and batting and all the things, and I realized I was thinking about this concept in those terms, the idea of trajectory. Trajectory is the direction, the path that an object moves through space. Trajectory is really determined by the external forces that are acting with and against the mass that's being traveled. Somebody throws the ball, it goes at a certain trajectory, the batter hits the ball, and that force pushes the ball backwards the other way, the other trajectory, and it sends it on its own path until that's interrupted by the catcher or by something else that it encounters. Trajectories move things along a determinate path, a path that can be measured, something that can be told. You can tell that if we launch something from this way, that it will land over here. We understand that launch and impact have things that move together, and they are predictable. Trajectory, in order to mark it and understand it well, it requires both hindsight and foresight. You have to know where that path began, and you have to know, you can then determine by calculating where it should go. It's projections based on past trends, or projections based on the way this arc began. I look back on much of my life, and you may be able to relate to this as well in different ways, that my life was headed in a certain direction. That I know as I was going through my life that I was on this certain trajectory. When I graduated high school, I went to college with a scholarship in music, in horn performance, and I was headed for that career path. I wanted to be a performer. Somewhere along the way, some things happened, and I ended up switching from horn performance to piano performance, even though I had had no formal training in piano at all. My path changed slightly. Still wanted to head down that path. I got that degree, decided that I wanted to go further, and got a master's in music as well. When I finished that, we moved to Georgia, my wife Amy and I decided that I wanted to take it to the ultimate end there so that I could not just teach students, but I wanted to teach in college. I wanted to be a professor. And so I went back to UGA and got a degree, a doctorate degree in music composition and theory. My life was headed on this trajectory. I knew where I was going. I graduated from college and I got a job almost the next year teaching at Emory University part-time. Well, it was full-time, but it was filling in for someone else. And I got a job, and I said, this is where life is headed. This is the trajectory I have done. A, B, and C, and we're headed now to this point. And somewhere in all of that mix, God happened. Somewhere in that plan, I encountered God. And I encountered these new opportunities for my life that I hadn't planned. Things that I didn't expect. Things that I didn't know were coming. And all of a sudden, I was finding myself with opportunities to lead worship at a church, which still felt like it was sort of on the same trajectory. And then opportunities to preach at the church, and opportunities to begin to pastor, and then opportunities to church plant. And all of a sudden, I realized that this trajectory of my life was going in an entirely different direction than what I had planned. See, the world has math that works really well. It says A plus B equals C. I've done this, and this is where I'll end up. I can track the trajectory. I began here, I planned, I made this arc, this is what the outcome is going to be based on all of these other factors. But that isn't how the math works with God. God's math doesn't go A plus B equals C. God's math goes A plus B equals purple. And you go, that doesn't make sense, God. I did all of these other things. How does that equal over here? How did I get to this place? That's not where we are. I would love to be able to predict the future trends of what's going to happen with God. I would love to know what's going to happen based on all of these past performance, but it just doesn't work that way. The past trends are meant to build our faith for our future journeys, but they're not to be predictors of outcomes. We've been in a series for the past number of weeks about faith. We've been looking in Hebrews 11 at these heroes of faith, these giants of faith, who all have several things in common. Number one, they had trust. Trust that God knows what He's doing, that He has a plan. They all had faith that God would do what He said He was going to do, even when it didn't make sense, especially when it didn't make sense. And they all learned complete and utter dependence on God to realize that they couldn't accomplish the goals under their own power. Only God could do it. If it was going to happen, it was going to have to be God. There was no other way around it. It had to be something so that it only looked like God had done it, not them in their own strength, not anything because A plus B equals C, but because A plus B equaled who knows what. God knew. God planned it. God can do it. And when we learn that utter dependence, that I can't do it in my own strength, I can do it if God does it. Faith can move mountains. Today we're going to learn about a man who had that kind of mountain-moving faith. We're going to continue where we picked up last week with Abraham. We're going to be back and forth between the Old Testament and the New Testament in this story of Abraham's great faith. And so if you want to look with me, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 and 12 today. And then we're going to be back into Genesis chapters 17 and 18. I'll just pick some verses out of that. In Abraham chapter 11, verse 11, it says, "By faith, Sarah received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful." Who was faithful? God was faithful. Him faithful who had promised. "Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the immeasurable grains of sand on the seashore." Quite a promise. Now listen in Genesis 17 and 18. I'm going to focus on the verses that talk about Abraham and Sarah's faith. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 15, it says, "God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you won't call her that name anymore, but Sarah shall be her new name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will become nations. Kings of people shall come from her.' And then Abraham fell on his face, and he laughed, and he said to himself, 'Shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah who's 90 years old bear a child? Abraham said to God, oh, just let Ishmael live before you. God said, no, Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you will call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. Later in chapter 18, the Lord returns. And in verse 10, the Lord says, I'll return again this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Sarah was listening at the door to the tent. And Abraham and Sarah, it says, were old. They were advanced in years. I'd say so. 100. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. That's very polite. So Sarah laughed to herself and said, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have this pleasure? When you take all these together, the way it's written in Hebrews, the way it tells the story here, taken all together, these things weave one common thread, one common tale. We're too old. This is not the right time. We're not in the right place. It's not a good place to do this right now. I gave up on that long ago. You ever been in that place? They replace the word with you're too old with we're too busy. We're too far down this other path. We've committed to this. It's not the right time. Not in a good place to do this right now. I'll be ready to do it when A and B and C are all there in a row. I gave up on that long ago. You know, by all accounts, Abraham and Sarah were on a path that really was headed, that trajectory was headed to the end of their life. They'd lived a good life. They'd been following God. But their life was now coming to its end, coming to its close. And yet they had this thing in front of them, hanging over them. You know what it was? It was the promise. They had this promise from God that even though they were headed in this direction, they knew. God said this. In chapter 12, God tells Abram to leave his country and your father's house. Alan preached about this last week, and he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. In chapter 15, he doubles down. And he brings him outside and he says, look up towards heaven. And I want you just to start numbering the stars if you can. He says, so will your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. They have this promise hanging in front of their eyes, even though everything that looks around them, everything by worldly standards is headed in this direction, they have this promise that's hanging in front of them that they don't know where to put. They don't know what to do with it. That's why God keeps having to double down on the explanation, is because nothing that they've done seems to be going in the direction of that promise. But they have it there that it would happen. They tried to make it happen. That's how they got Ishmael. You ever tried to make God's promises happen? If we can do it, then how is it God? Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. We can't make God's promises happen because the math doesn't make sense. Right? A plus B doesn't equal C. It equals purple. And we don't know where to put that. And so we have to trust that he knows. We have to trust what he said and have faith that he will do it even when it doesn't make sense. We have to have faith. Like Abraham believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. He had faith to believe it even when he said, well, just make it go through Ishmael. He's already here. Do it with him. That wasn't God's plan. We need that dependence. Not that we can do it ourselves, but that he can do it. By all accounts, Abraham and Sarah should not be where they are today, as patriarchs and matriarchs of an entire nation of people. They shouldn't be there. It doesn't make sense that they are in that position by worldly standards. By a worldview based on their age and their stage, they were done. They were too old. Abraham should have been a grandfather and a great-grandfather. Sarah should have been a great-grandmother. They were ready to retire, but in the greatest sense of that word. Right? Do you remember what it says in Hebrews? That writer of Hebrews, boy, he is a little brutal. He doesn't, like, they say it nicely in the Old Testament. But listen to what it says in verse 12 in Hebrews. It says, therefore, from one man, Abraham, and to him as good as dead. You know, I looked in other translations to see if it reads different. It reads basically the same in every translation. He was basically at the end of his life, as good as dead. And then they say with Sarah that she was past the age. Right? It said the ways of women had left her. But what does it do? It paints this picture. It paints this picture that the writer of Hebrews is so good at juxtaposing the idea of this is what makes sense and this is what God was actually doing. And those two things are completely different paths. By worldly standards, it paints the picture of what the expectation was. They were on a predictable path, on a trajectory. Now, I can't show you my little chart here that I drew up on here, so I'm going to demonstrate it. I want you to take your life, and I want you to imagine that your life is in this box. Okay, so this is your life. Wherever you are in your life, I don't think any of us want to just be wandering aimlessly through life. I don't think any of us want to just live and whatever happens and do. We have a certain place that in our mind we're headed. Perhaps you've arrived at that place. If you have, get ready. Perhaps you've gotten just started along this path. But whether it's because of things that you've done to work toward this goal or whether it's because of circumstances that have put you in this direction, your life looks like it has this predictable trajectory. This is the way I'm going. This is the way I'm headed. This is where I am expecting to be. This box over here represents our planned goal. This is our life. It's headed to this planned goal in the future, some point in the future. There's an expectation that that will happen. But then, over here in this other box for Abraham and Sarah is this thing that says God's promise. And it's nowhere near the goal that you're aiming at. And God's promise is up here. And the question very simply is, how do we get here? Trajectory is determined by the impact of external forces acting with and acting against the mass. Gravity, momentum, energy, forces that are sometimes outside and beyond our control. Something happens to get you from your trajectory that's happening here to this goal that God has up here for you, to the promise that He has for your life, and that impact is God. At some point along the way, there's a huge shift that happens. And the trajectory splits. It's like when the pitcher in softball throws the ball, and the ball is headed in this direction, and all of a sudden it impacts the batter, and the trajectory of that ball is completely altered and changed. That's what God does. When God impacts your life, when we're willing to let Him impact our life in that way, when we're willing to be in that place where we're ready, whatever God's going to do, yes, we're intended to go down the path we're on. God told Abraham, I want you to go to a place that I'll show you. And Abraham went. So we can go on the path that God's laid out. We can move in the direction that we're going. There's nothing wrong with that. But at some point along the way, be ready for the impact. And when it hits, be ready for where it's going to go, where God's promise is taking. Somewhere along the way, Abraham and Sarah's life hit this. You realize when he left, when God said, I call you to go to a land that you don't know, he was 75 years old. 75. Abraham had lived a good long life. I imagine he felt like he was already pretty close to that goal area. When God said, take up your family and I want you to go to a land that I'll show you. Trajectory change. And now he's on this path and he's like, I've got it. And then God gives him this promise that looks like it's over here. And it looks like he's headed this way and God's promise is here. And he says, how are we supposed to get over here? And the only way it happens, the only way any of these stories happen is when that mountain making, the earth shaking, the sea churning, the creator, the almighty, the first and the last, the one and only God impacts a life and takes it in a direction and a trajectory that suddenly, drastically, radically changes the plan for the life. And from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many of the stars in heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand on the seashore. Only God can do that. Only God takes somebody who's as good as dead and turns them into the rest of their life. By all accounts, they were on that trajectory to their end of their life, but God's promise changed the trajectory. You know how old Abraham was when he died? 175. Genesis 25:7 records it. I love how clear all the way through Abraham's story the ages are recorded. It's important. Do you know why it's important? He was 75 years old when God called him to leave his home and his country, go to a place that he will show him. He was 86 years old when Ishmael was born and he tried to make the promise happen. 14 years later, he still did not have the son that God said, I will give you the son through that. 100 years old, God gives him the promise and he lives for 75 more years. 75% longer than I imagine he expected his life to go. What has God got planned for your life? Where are you in that path? Where do you think that you are? And you say, I'm already pretty close to this area. Get ready. Because God isn't finished with any of us. God's not done with us yet. 75 more years. God is not done. From the world view, they were finished, but from God's view, they were exactly where he wanted them to be. They were in exactly the place that he had planned for them, and he was just getting started. That 25-year period between the calling and the fulfillment of the promise, he got to live an entire other life beyond that. He lived 75 years up to the promise, 25 years waiting for the promise, 75 more years beyond the promise. He got to live an entire other life, a whole other lifetime in God's promise. What is your own expectation for your life? What stage in life do you think, this is where I am now? What has God promised that you've discounted because of the time that it's taken, the stage that you're in, the age that you are? It works both ways. I mean, Paul tells Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because of your youth. It happens both ways. Are you open to the possibility of God intervening into the trajectory of your life? What if he called you to do something radical? What if he called you, and what if he promised you something that was unbelievable? In every sense of the word, not able to be believed. What can God do if we only have faith? By all accounts, Abraham and Sarah shouldn't be where they are in history. But God had other plans. He has other plans for you too. Plans that we know, plans we don't know. But God's got plans. Can you pray with me? Father God, we know that you do have plans for our life. We know that you love us and that you care for us and that you do not want us to just wander through life. Will you want us to be driven and to move and to go in the directions that you've been moving us? But Lord, let us be ready. Let us brace for impact. Let's be ready for whatever you want us to do. Let us be able to say, here I am. Send me. Use me. Make us available, God. May our lives not get so stuck in one direction that we can't be moved. Make us movable. Lord, for any here today that feel that place that they're stuck, for those that are here today that feel that they're in that place maybe of stubbornness, of mountain immovability, Lord, you are the mountain mover. You are the one that lifts us out of the pit. Your word says that you're the one that lifts us out of the mire. That means you're the great unstucker. We need that, God. We get stuck. Move us. Draw us. Drive us, God. Impact our lives in changing, just unbelievable ways. Lord, I ask your blessing over your people today. Pray that you would just fill us with your presence. Holy Spirit, would you just make us sensitive to your guidance? We love you. We worship you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that your name is due. I ask you to bless your people. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.